Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 19, Option 2. We're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about quality time with Grandma and Grandpa for Deke, talking about multiverse theory, and of course, talking about the big Graviton reveal. But we also have something special. If you stick around for the end of the show, we're going to be breaking down Infinity War. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion. AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. We are living in a post-Infinity War world. Oh, man. How are we all doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Taran?
Silence, mere mortals. Silence.
Graviton, Graviton. Graviton, Graviton. I'm Graviton. Let's Graviton.
I think Zach has turned into a Pokemon.
My sun has risen.
Oh, man.
I must admit, I enjoy this Jesse more than other Jesse. Much more.
That's why you keep trying to kill me.
Not gonna lie, during the big reveal in this episode, I could do nothing but laugh because I knew we were gonna get to talk about it today.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, is the other Jesse's birthday. This is his birthday gift from
the universe, right? From Marvel.
From the Marvel.
The last
universe.
Time it was actually my birthday, we had Felipe Smith in here, so that's a good thing for everybody.
That was a good day. Hey, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, welcome back to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Super excited to talk about this show.
To his left, Taran.
Tyrannos, if you must address me, which most of you should not.
I assume you're going to be changing all your social medias to match.
I am Tyrannos.
And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Oh, this has been 4 seasons in the making. How much louder did I have to yell?
I'm glad that to know.
Does anybody else hear that buzzing that sounds just like the sound effect they use for Graviton?
Yeah. I don't hear a buzzing. I hear kind of like an airplane sound.
I think it
might be the air conditioning.
You've spoken and the gods have listened.
So I do want to preface this with going, guys, I love your enthusiasm. Wish you had waited to tweet at me.
Until it had at least aired on the West Coast.
Yeah. Much appreciated, again, for the enthusiasm, but don't ruin the thing for other people. That being said, as I mentioned before, we are going to be talking about Infinity War at the very end of the show. So, guys, we're going to go ahead and give you a preemptive spoiler alert, because we will be talking about spoilers, and we will be talking about possible ramifications for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., et cetera, as well as giving our thoughts on the movie. I'm really excited for that. Bit, but just so you know, if you haven't seen the movie yet, we are going to be giving spoilers. So,
but we will give you at the end. We will give you a very loud, very direct spoiler warning.
No accidents.
Spoiler alert!
No, not now.
Not now.
Later. But there's no spoilers now.
An example.
Will be spoilers.
That was an example of what it will sound like.
When you hear
this sound,
but right now you are safe. There are no spoilers.
That's the clear line. When there's a nuclear attack, which didn't happen this episode. So if there was a nuclear attack,
it's very important to listen to all the options.
Can we get Patrick Warburton to come in and record some spoiler alerts, please?
Yes, please.
I just like getting him. I want as much of that.
Absolutely.
Projector.
as much Patrick Warburton as possible. So, guys, yes, talking about this episode. This episode, as Zach pointed out, has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
What are our initial thoughts tonight?
I mean, what a awesome reveal. Way to reveal a character and like immediately you know what their superpowers are without them having to say anything about it.
Yep.
And you're just like, no. Like, okay, I get it.
Taran?
See, here's the thing.
Guys, for the record, we should never let Taran watch anything with a character like Thanos ever again.
Yeah.
Because anything with like the
no
major
spoilers,
villains,
guys.
That's true. But anything, even Cassius, that's a good example too. Anytime we have a very compelling villain, Taran is just like, I get this guy.
Are 100%. They the villain? If the lion told the story, then the lion would be the hero and the hunter would be the villain. It just, it's a perspective, guys. That's all I'm just throwing out there. Perspective, that's all.
So
I draw a six, it's a six. You look at it, it's a nine.
No, it's still six. Intent means something.
You know, because of the where the line is at. Anyway, your thoughts on tonight's episode?
By the way, I just want to point, this is why I try to kill you each and every week.
Yeah.
And I fight you to the death. This episode was amazing, especially coming off Infinity Wars. Like, this was an amazing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. And so we have two action-packed episodes of things to discuss.
It's a good weekend to be a Marvel fan.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's been a great week to be a Marvel fan.
This was, I mean, this is a good episode outside of the reveal.
Yeah.
But, like, Jess, like you were saying, this was a great villain reveal.
Yeah.
You know his motivation, or at least, like, we have an idea of it for now.
Yeah.
I have so many questions, like, in terms of Grafton. Like, okay, are there three people in there now?
Yeah, that's my question.
Is it just Talbot? It would seem to imply that there's probably at least three people, if not four.
Yeah.
I think the implication from Robin's drawing from last week is that it's going to be sort of a Legion sort of situation later on down the road.
But they're setting him up, like, you know, if this is one of those things, if you told me, like, 2-3 weeks ago that Talbot was going to become Graviton like this, I would have balked at it.
Yeah.
But the way, because it sounds absurd when you just take it out of context, but the way that they built up to that decision, it all fits, it all makes sense.
It all Simmons.
Yeah. it also just, like, I like that. I want to see Adrian Pastar handle this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things. You're exactly right. If somebody had told me, you know, when, years ago, when we first started theorizing, we got to be building up to Graviton at some point. If somebody had been like, hey, you know, the plan is to eventually turn Talbot into Graviton, we would have been like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to have to go through some crazy stuff if that's going,
like,
to make
sense.
They'll
have to go to the future and be in, like, a fake video game
world.
And
the showrunners cracked their knuckles and said, challenge accepted. I had a lot of fun with this episode. I feel like it was, you know, we've had several weeks of really solid classic fielding S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes. And
yeah.
I feel like this was very much in line with that. And the Graviton reveal was the freaking gravy on top of that delicious entree. And this, it's been a great week to be a Marvel fan. Like you said, we got the Venom trailer. We got Infinity War.
Well,
and then
we got the Venom trailer.
Oh, I liked it.
I liked it, too. Yeah. That's neither here nor there. We shouldn't talk.
I have mixed feelings on that trailer.
Oh, I'm still skeptical. Neither here nor there. Sorry, this isn't Marvel movie news.
So, to discuss
point being,
questions.
Yeah, throw them out.
Since you're the Graviton expert.
Sure. I've yelled about enough that I better be.
What exactly is the extent of Graviton's powers?
World breaking.
Yeah, he controls the force of gravity, which, because, like, if you go up to into the upper echelons of that, he effectively could control a black hole.
Yeah.
So he could just open up a black hole in the middle of a planet and you're done.
Yeah.
He's beaten the Hulk before.
Yeah. Being able to manipulate gravity is not the only almost
person I know
OP
that has beaten the Hulk.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say definitely it's an OP power, borderline broken, but it's something really exciting that this show is delving into.
If you want to get, like, a really quick, like, hey, I just want more Graviton stuff, they did a two-parter with him on the cartoon Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Awesome!
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes in season one.
Oh, cool.
That was fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, that show is amazing. If you need, like, a pick-me-up from, like, whatever you're going to see at the movie theaters this weekend, I don't know what you're looking at, but, like,
A Dark Place? Or a Quiet Place? A
Quiet Place, yeah. If you need a pick-me-up, like, something Marvel-related, that show is fantastic.
I've heard it's, as far as, like, animated shows go, that it's the best Avengers canon out there in terms of, like, animated shows about the Avengers.
But he has unlimited power, and that, like, immediately goes to his head. That is the basic, like, start of that character.
I can understand that. Here's the thing. All right.
So tell us what the thing is.
As he has unlimited powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he take Coulson at the end into space?
I mean, because Talbot is loyal to Coulson. And Coulson just saved him from being in Hydra mind control. And I think Talbot is trying to be the good guy. Like he says, he's like, I told you I could handle this. I can fix it. And I think what he's trying to do is, like, he's seen this as his redemption arc. He is going to redeem himself, and he has to prove himself to Coulson because he sees that Coulson is kind of like, at one point they were equals, and he has to get back to that level.
Yeah. This is also, I think, we're dealing with, like, what we originally met Talbot for is that character's still very much in there. So yeah. I think this is a little bit of a prediction, but I think the Talbot-driven Gravitron is basically going to Graviton. Mm-hmm. We'll call him Tron. but I think he's basically going to get in there and want to save the world, and then it becomes very easily, especially when you throw in the madness of Franklin Hall and yeah. Ian Quinn, combine all those characters, and there's like a world domination. Well, like, I have the power, I know what's right, well, now I have the might to get it done.
Yeah. And there's also the possibility that Ruby's consciousness is still in there, yeah. and that it's also possible that I could definitely see Graviton absorbing more consciousnesses into his being. I don't know how that would work.
I just pictured a moment if Ruby is in there, where Talbot Graviton is like sitting in his like fancy new clothes and just like rocking out to some like millennial pop rock.
I mean,
you just like there's a scene with him and Hale, and Ruby just starts yelling, "You just don't understand me, Mom!"
I mean, blasting some Beyonce.
Creel could be in there as well, which would be an interesting dynamic to have Creel and Talbot.
But he's still
alive.
I guess he could. I don't. Yeah,
I don't know if it is actual consciousness or imprints of consciousness.
And if he's been hospitalized, it's conceivable that they have him sedated. So, like, it's possible that since his consciousness is kind of connected to that hole, that, like, because he's out, like, his consciousness could be there, too.
Yeah. I think he would have absorbed a copy.
I got the impression that it was imprints of consciousness and not for actual...
For him, yes. For yeah. Ruby, no. I think, like, the difference was that Creel, because of his powers, like, when he becomes steel, he's not absorbing parts of the steel, he's just converting into it. So I think he converted a part of his body into gravitonium, which had consciousness in it, but he's not actually leaching anything from it. So that would stay intact. He's just now crazy.
So does no one else think that Talbot is secretly obsessed with Coulson and is vying for Coulson's respect, nay, in every aspect, because Talbot never got to be half the hero that Coulson is?
I don't think it's secret. I mean, his job was to pay attention to Coulson, and
he's like, been a foil for them since season one.
Yeah,
and then a friend, and like they became friends for the point where he trusted him beyond almost anyone. Yeah. He realized how good of a person Coulson was.
But is he like maybe slightly in love with Coulson? Is there a relationship outside of him just being this is a person professionally?
I think the thing about it is just because he's been so psychologically broken down, I think if anything, he might be fixating on Coulson because he feels like he's let him down. I don't necessarily think it's a romantic interest sort of thing. I just think it's sort of a mental, like, I have to fix this. I have to make it okay. And I think it's an interesting thing, actually, giving him superpowers of all people, of everybody that we've gotten in the cast, choosing to give Talbot this power is very interesting because he spent an entire season kind of puppet mastering a person with powers, you know, that he engineered to make it look like this guy was this big hero. And so it's kind of interesting that now that person who was putting on this charade is now actually imbued with probably more power than anybody in the current cast right now.
Yeah, I like this episode a lot because it was another, every once in a while they do a horror movie episode, and that was what this episode was. Like, they introduce the Marauders, who, if you're a fan of Marvel, like, Marauders means a lot of things.
Anything.
Like that's Mr. Sinister's, like, team of special mutants.
Are the Marauders,
which includes a guy whose mutant power is harpoons.
And also Cyclops.
Yeah, I guess Cyclops was on
the
Marauders.
He was the leader. His brother.
The Marauders mean something different to every Marvel universe. In this case, it's just like parkour aliens with knives.
Parkour darkness
and breathing masks.
And breathing masks.
Not going to lie, they did kind of look like... I liked them. I thought they were a lot of fun. But I did kind of think that they looked like discount Mortal Kombat villains.
I thought they looked like Valdo from Soul...
Oh, yes!
Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I thought we agreed that they were the Foot Clan from the Teenage Mutant
Ninja Turtles. Also were
all
Foot
of
Clan.
These, none of these are inaccurate descriptions. But yeah. Like I said, I thought they were a lot of fun.
Look, if you travel the multiverse long enough, you're going to find a creature that's somehow a baby of the Foot, Voldo, and I forget what
you... Some Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And Sub-Zero. Yeah.
I've always looked at these evil aliens and always wondered, who do they procreate with? Like, are the women in this universe or whatever situation they have to procreate, are they us evil? Where does this evil come from? Are they an entire race of just evil people?
Now,
how does this work?
This just looks like a band of space pirates.
I would assume they're just like people who like a people who have been enslaved, and then they're just like farming out soldiers effectively.
Yeah.
But I'm just
garnering for when I do my world conquest. I'm giving him advice. Thank you.
Stop giving him tips.
I'll give you a tip that I gave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kill Talbot. Remember when I said we should have just killed Talbot? Talbot was kind of in the way.
And if we did, then all of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be dead now.
Yeah. Why?
Because Talbot saved them from the Marauders.
You mean Graviton? Here's the fallacy, and we're definitely going to talk about this more when we get into Infinity War. But the Marvel fallacy is the concept of, I need to stay alive because I'm important, and I'm the only one that can save everyone. No, if your death means that I can save everyone, then that's the job. That's the concept. The concept is you're the hero, so sometimes hero doesn't mean being there to hear the applause. Sometimes you're dead and then the
I don't
rain.
Think anybody knows that better than Coulson at this point. Like, the guy who made a deal with the devil, like, he's like, I'll sacrifice myself so that these people can live.
They constantly go out of their way to save their team over saving the interests of the planet as a whole.
That's the decision of the team. Coulson keeps telling them, let me die.
Save the world multiple times.
Yeah.
And if their team doesn't exist, then the world gets destroyed.
Kind of like how the world is going to be destroyed in this one. See, this one is a world-destroying event. And in this case, we have Fitz and Simmons who refuse to die. You have...
Sorry.
But Teron, last week your argument was kill Ruby because you're saving the world, but killing Ruby actually initiated the death of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had saved Ruby, then the world would not
had
be destroyed.
Had they killed everyone I told them to kill, we would be fine.
Well,
so Ruby, Talbot...
Teron just wants to kill everybody.
This is
how Hydra gets started.
As much as we appreciate those tips,
if you want to know how to not kill people to make the world get better, you should definitely check out the podcast with Maria Menounos each and every week on Fridays, where she gives tips from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Now, I talk about this each and every week that I listen to Maria Menounos' podcast. It's Conversations with Maria Menounos, hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, who, along with Kevin Undergaro, is the reason why all this even exists. And we get to be here and talk about these amazing shows that we like and our dislikes, and gives us a free open platform. And it drops every Friday on iTunes. And when you do, please go rate and comment and let Maria know it was us, Tyrannos, who sent you. Now, next week, hopefully, the plan is that I'll also be a contributing member to a podcast. So you guys will want to check it out as I let you all know my secret plan of world domination.
That's how I always thought that we'd find out about world domination podcasts.
Best way to keep a secret is say it on a podcast.
True story. Just ask
There's
Joe
some
Rogan.
Sad so, truth to
oh,
that.
No, it is sad. So Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out each and every Friday. Share and subscribe and tell your friends to tell their friends, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it means a lot when you guys support the people who allow us to be here and give us this platform. So guys, go check that out. And again, Teron might be on next time, so that'll be a lot of fun. All right.
iTunes.
iTunes. Okay, if we want to do that now, we can do
that. We're talking about iTunes. Might as well keep talking about
folks,
iTunes.
We want to say thank you to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it's the best way to let our aforementioned producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Guys, it really boggles my mind how many iTunes comments we've got over the course of the years of doing this show. You guys are absolutely phenomenal, and so we like to give a shout out whenever we get new comments.
We have 525 reviews.
Whoa.
696 ratings.
Oh my goodness.
Of which 644 are 5 stars. Thank you, guys.
I really need to know who left the non-5-star ratings. Because you will be eliminated from existence once I get my glove.
Anyway, I real quick, because we got a lot of stuff to cover, just I want to thank Kel of Sack, who's an unbelievably entertaining panel that, like the show it covers, is one of the most consistently amazing things on my weekly watch list. RG West, the best Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show out there. I've been listening to this podcast on and off for the past season and a half, and I have to really enjoy all the hosts' commentary on the show. You guys are really fun and make a great team. And Foz Kerr, really hard to pronounce, I'm sorry. There's no vowels in that word. It's one of my favorites. I've been listening to this podcast since season one. It's been an amazing journey. I'm thankful for all the for having such a great podcast to accompany such an awesome show. Keep up the good work, and here's to 700.
Aww.
4 more ratings, guys. So go over to iTunes. Just hit us with a rating and a comment. Keep boosting those numbers because it helps people find the show. Graviton.
So again, thank you guys so much. You are all the best, and we love you.
Can we talk about the other reveal that we got that was huge at the end of this episode?
That Deke should no longer call Fitz Gramps?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
The reveal, like, yeah. Never call me Gramps again.
Yeah, I would feel insulted if my grandpa said that to me.
Let's talk about quality time with grandma and grandpa for a little bit, because I freaking love the interactions that we get between Deke, Gemma, and Fitz. Like, I just love how Fitz is having none of it.
Love him? Because you know who doesn't? Deke. Poor Deke, who everyone rags on. Deke.
No, that's the thing. Is like,
Deke just wants a family.
He just wants a family. And they're just like, again, they're just giving him the runaround. And I love this conversation that we get about multiverse theory versus linear theory, because it's basically what we've been arguing
we've been about
at this table. And it's just really fun to see two scientific minds on this show go back and forth on that as well.
It explains your existence, by the way, multiverse, because I know I have followed you to the death many times.
Unfortunately, it's just I'm really stubborn and it doesn't take every time.
Who has Kenny from South Park powers? That's all I'm saying.
It won't take. What I really want is Simmons to eventually give Deke a hard candy out of her purse.
I think that's a very grandma thing to do.
Yeah, I think it would be really funny.
Like the ones that are wrapped, like with the red,
strawberry ones.
Yeah. Like the tin.
But like every 5 is a cough drop.
Sure. We already
know that Deke like inherits Fitz's knife, which is the most grandpa thing.
Yeah,
ever.
That is a big grandpa thing.
And like, oh my gosh, if he did get grandma candy, he would think it's the best kind of candy in the world.
Yeah.
I've never had this before.
I've never had just...
She could give him a cough drop and he'd be like, oh my God.
This is way better than a lemon.
I wish Deke just turned around and was like, listen, guys, I didn't ask for any of this. And now that I'm thrown in here, how about you guys just be a little freaking nicer to me? Or you know what? Screw you all and I'm out. Like, honestly, I just feel like they rag on Deke. This is bullying to an extreme.
I mean, it's just been nonstop since he got to the past. He's just been everyone's punching bag.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, it is also our viewers. He's also our viewers' punching bag. We got the results of that poll. Yeah. Resoundingly, 68% said no, they should not get together.
68% of our viewers are haters. That's all that I meant. Come on, let Deke get a little fun with 68%. My woman. Hold on, wait, I'm conflicted now.
68% said no to Queek.
They did. Yeah. 68% passed on the Queek.
Maybe we should come up with a better ship name.
We found the best one. I don't think we could find a better one.
That was a very good one. I let you live last week because of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I got a lot of chores done.
Yeah. You wouldn't have been nearly as productive if you had been dead.
Absolutely.
But he does show that he's worth something in this. Like when he's running, like we immediately saw like a flash of like old, the Deke that we got in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's resourceful. He's able to elude capture. And like, again, he is one of the brighter minds that happens to be in their current situation. They just don't really give him a chance. Because
he does the most with the least amount of resources, because that's what he's used to on his version of what the world is.
He also has zero training in any of this.
Yes.
But it's interesting when he gets thrown into a situation like this, because he goes immediately from being the fish out of water to the resident expert, because he's the only one that has any frame of reference for who the Marauders are and what they do.
Harpoon, hypnosis, all these characters. Sabretooth.
These are the X-Men Marauders.
Yeah.
I do love that these are aliens that are literal darkness. Like, they travel through the darkness, and it's such a simple horror movie thing of, like, flickering lights. Like, it's such a cliche. And yet, when you have characters who can literally travel through the darkness, all of a sudden a flickering light becomes menacing.
Thought that they just replaced the, what were the other ones? The Maxlins? What were the other ones? The monster ones?
The roaches?
Yeah. They just kind of replaced them to the point where I was like, do they become them? Because they kind of move in the little manner.
They scurry a little bit as they do their parkour.
It's almost as if they're the same form of creature.
That'd be cool.
That actually could have been really cool if they'd released a bunch of Relnexians on the base instead.
To be like, oh, shoot.
I do like the idea that like something we know exists now evolves into a roach. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be really
interesting. I've actually known a couple people that have done that in my life.
Oh, really?
So,
I've got questions.
And it wasn't as interesting as you thought.
Oh, well, never mind.
She's trying to go all metamorphosis on us.
I just want to see what happens. I think that all those moments are cool. I like the idea that like Deke is a fish out of water when everything is normal. But as soon as things turn freaky deaky, he's now... freaky deaky. He knows. He's the expert.
I was gonna say, did you do that on purpose?
Not initially.
I'm glad that you just leaned into it. I love it.
You may survive.
I know.
Switch.
I want. If this show doesn't make a freaky deaky joke by the end of the season, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, they really should. Stay tuned for the Shield Halloween episode.
When things get freaky deaky.
And then like he spikes the lens like, aww.
That sounds like such a Disney XD promo.
Wait, people give out candy for free? He tries to eat a jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, no.
Exactly, but I mean, we laugh, but this is a person who's not accustomed to the world the way it is now. He had never even seen trees before.
No. Or Orlando.
which is funny, and we all laugh, but the truth of the matter is, any of us should be empathetic to this situation.
Absolutely.
And the cast really on the show isn't. And I wish there was a little more understanding, especially coming from Coulson. I feel that Coulson is the spearhead and he's the moral compass of the group for the most part. And it should be him who leads the, hey, Deke, thank you. Just an appreciate. Just a, hey, Deke.
Thanks, Deke. That would be nice. I also love that throughout all of this, he's like, guys, it's okay. Daisy can handle this. She's amazing. She can do anything. What do you mean she's not here?
Maybe that's why I like Deke so much.
We have nothing to fear as long as Daisy's here. It's so cute. I know you guys weren't about the Daisy Deke shipping, but like... I don't know. I find his crush to just be very endearing.
He wants to apparently take her to Disney World.
Yeah.
You see that like unsubtle Disney Orlando drop?
I wish someone wanted to take me to Disney World. And, you know, we laugh at that. Like, Daisy can take care of herself, but Daisy's a very powerful being. She is the most powerful agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., whether we always see it or not. And she holds back. Let's not forget that she's minimizing her powers because of the effects that it could have and on herself and her strain.
And the fact that she has her powers back and the manner of which she got her powers back, the whole team is kind of in disarray. There's a lot of animosity between the different agents going on right now, to the point where she thanks May for being the only sane one as she goes off on her solo mission to try to save Coulson.
Yeah, there still isn't a lot of breakdown of when Fitz forced Daisy to have surgery. we're really glossing over some real big emotional moments.
Yeah, well, I mean, they jailed him. It was really just this, like, but it's been a constant barrage of like, oh no, what's happening now?
Yeah.
They did something similar with Yo-Yo. what she did.
Yeah, at the beginning.
At the top of this episode.
They were bringing up a lot of moral questions, and then Coulson's like, well, we could talk about that, but instead we're going to talk about this.
And he's just like, I don't know how to answer this situation. Moving on to the next disaster. I mean,
it was a very dad moment of like, oh, dad doesn't know how to address these questions of like the moral implications of like what all these kids are talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, kids, go to your rooms. Get your chores done. We don't have time for this.
Sure, but it's also a leadership role that Coulson has now reverted back to, being the leader and not thinking I'm going to be dead tomorrow. And trying to throw Daisy and Thruster into it. So when he does that, the concept is, hey, this did happen. We'll deal with it later. We have so much going on. Let's worry about, you guys are getting into arguments where, technically speaking, none of you were right. None of you know what the right answer is, which is why this loop keeps happening. So none of your solutions are correct. Maybe this was the right thing.
It's also a very dad thing to say. You're all wrong.
You can also see his disappointment at Daisy's handling of it, because he really thought that she was ready to take over for him.
And she's not.
And this was a very clear moment of she was not, because she's losing her cool in front of the entire agency, for better or worse. That is the entire shield.
And then to have Yo-Yo straight up in front of everybody say, well, we didn't pick you, that's a pretty solid moment.
Undermined.
Also, that's like, you work for an agency, like, you don't pick your bosses.
But they don't, they don't really work for anyone anymore.
There is no agency. There's no shield. They are just six people who've decided they are shield.
Hey, guys, more than six. We've got some shield interns.
The ones whose names we even forget.
Piper,
Davis,
Davies,
and Pavis and Chavis.
Agent Kim and Wall.
Wow, you survived that with just a scar. Have you told anyone that story?
Yeah, they gave Agent Kim a name. That's what you get when you graduate from being an intern.
You get a name.
But that's the thing. It's like we have...
It's the intern name day.
They're basically a rogue organization working in their best interest with no actual leadership or guidance. It's not a democratic process like it should be, where everyone's saying, well, this is okay for you to do. They're working on their own.
I have a theory that they're still working for Nick Fury. Like, I think they're still... I think Coulson is still getting orders
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like he's been pretty autonomous, that when Nick Fury went dark at the end of Winter Soldier, that, you know, he'll only pop in once.
There may be a guiding principle, though. Like, you handle the situations as they hit, but I am, like...
Or Maria
Hill. It's
the kind
of thing, like, if... Well, we know, like, Hill is working for... Dark still?
I don't know
if that's still a thing.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
But, like, you get the sense that Fury, like, if he reappeared in front of Coulson, everyone would just fall in line behind Nick Fury and whatever he wanted.
Because he's earned it. He's earned it, and Daisy is not. And we've never seen that more than in this episode, where Daisy is not.
Well, and she disappears.
She goes on her own,
and she's not ready for this mantle because she's never had to be. Coulson's always made the decision to everyone else, and she got to be a brat who did what she had to do. And in this episode, we see that affects the team. Where is she?
A lot of the seasons focus on her doing the exact opposite of what Coulson wants to do. Like, that's the crux of a lot of the conflicts.
Yeah.
Basically, season three and beyond. Is Coulson giving orders and her sort of not listening. And so, she does go on her own solo mission where she meets up with the Candyman in this episode, trying to track down cybertech leads. I want to highlight this conversation just for a moment, just because we got some golden gems in it.
And we got our only reference to Infinity War.
What the heck?
we'll save that discussion.
The reference is, did you see the crazy stuff happening in New York?
Yeah.
And I don't watch the news.
I have more to say on that.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to table it.
That's the only reference this episode. Yeah.
But we also get a reference to Sonora.
There's scenes in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, please. I believe I should speak on.
Do you want to speak on behalf of Sonora and her balls that may or may not be her own?
And we finally, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now, the way you have theories, I too have a theory. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and
There's
their writers and their producers watch hour after buzz Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Oh my goodness.
Where we discussed this and heard us, meaning me, discuss Sonara's balls.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw a nod to us in the show tonight. Now... Is this more ludicrous than any of your theories? No, it's not. In fact, I think it's way more realistic than we give it credit for.
Can I just say that I love Detective Taran? Just like, therefore, I deduce that this was a clear message to us here in this room.
And they
room.
Said like this.
Yeah, that's right.
Those of you listening to the podcast, Taran just did a little head nod.
I thought it was weird that the Candyman was wearing a hat that said, I am Taran. And I was like, I wonder if that's a nod to us. I couldn't put it together, but you really pieced those.
You're very welcome.
He walked out in a robe, and we were like, huh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where did they come up with that?
I gave you all the clues after Buzz. But we basically get what he finds out, what he's able to relay to her, is that one of the things that kept Garrett alive was, of course, the centipede serum that we were focusing on in season one, and that there was an unknown healing agent developed by the Nazis that was just kind of a big question mark in terms of the list of ingredients, because, hey, a place was listed on a map, and it's a place that doesn't exist. Daisy recognizes it.
Yeah.
Guys, this was and the very last scene of the episode focuses on where she's going to track down where that healing agent is. And where is she going? She's going to her mother's grave to dig up her body.
Yep.
You guys don't do that?
No. Not normally.
No.
But what if you need healing agent? Where do you...
My mom's
CVS.
My mom's mutant power is not healing, so it doesn't work for me. You have to find it elsewhere.
When we saw that it was Shaiying, I was like, "Oh my god!"
I was not surprised. I, as soon as they said another, it's from the city, but it's not on any map. It was just like, "Oh, we're gonna go get her mom's body." Like that's the location is her mom.
I was actually kind of thinking this was a throwback to like one of the ancient Cree temples that happened
That's
to be.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
So when she shows up in a graveyard, I was like, what? Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're going to go all like Pet Cemetery on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ugh. Oh, God.
Sometimes dead is better. No.
But I figured it. I think it still could be. The city might be afterlife.
Oh, I was just assuming that, like, it was like, they said it was located at Shaiying, and that's not on any maps.
It could be either way.
Yeah.
Because, like, if she sees a city called Afterlife, Daisy can piece those things together to know the healing agent came from
her
evil
later, by
villain
the way,
mom.
Sometimes dead is better. Just remember we said that as we discuss Infinity War. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
How dare you?
Sometimes we got about 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
So we do want to talk about Infinity War. Is there anything else in this episode that we want to talk about? Because this was a big one with the Graviton reveal.
I like the pacing of these last like four or five episodes. Where like the last four episodes were mostly like super spy episodes that were mostly like them versus Hydra, spy versus spy. And then it feels great when all of a sudden, out of the spy thing, it then turns into Gravitron or Graviton. We're adding Tron to it. Graviton and...
It's hard not to say.
You're welcome.
And Graviton and, like, marauders and, like, an angry guy on a thing just saying, like, surrender and, like, give us what we want. Like, having that with, contrasting with, like, the super spy stuff is really fun and satisfying.
I do want to talk about the split between Fritz and Simmons, because they discussed it and was like, I should have never left your side, which led to a series of events. And it's interesting to watch that every single decision that gets made has a consequence. Whether it's good or bad, that's yet to be seen, but every single thing that happens leads to something.
Well, I like that, especially when it comes to the Fitz and Simmons and Deke sort of relationship dynamic. legally his name is still Fitz. That they keep bringing up the idea that if we break the loop, Deke will pop out of existence.
Yes.
And he keeps maintaining, no, multiverse theory, I got pulled into this universe, so I'm gonna continue to exist. And I feel like either way,
seems like we have a new poll.
I feel like,
what do you guys think's gonna happen? Huh? Can we pop up that poll? Is it multiverse or
linear?
Linear. Okay. And does Deke fizzle out of existence once all this has been solved. Do we have a name for this? The Deke.
Well, I think it would
the
be,
Deke equation.
Can I think it would be. Would it be Back to the Future rules, or would it be Doctor Who rules?
Yeah, that means nothing to me.
Depends on the season of Doctor
Who. That's true. It depends on what season of Doctor Who.
But is that... Wait.
Yes.
Because Doctor Who is linear.
Doctor Who is linear. Mm. They have some multiverses. Doctor Who is linear, but there are fixed points in time that you cannot change.
Yeah.
But other parts are a big ball. So you,
but other than like two episodes, universe, it's not really a multiverse.
Universe versus multiverse. Can we...
We'll figure out what to call these things. Yeah. We'll throw up a poll later.
We'll throw up a poll for sure.
Multiverse, come up with the name. That is your job, other Jesse. Okay.
Do you guys want give us your thoughts on the Freaky Deaky equation?
Well, there we go. It's called the Freaky Deaky equation.
How about
the Freaky Deaky?
Freaky Deaky.
How about this? We do it this way. For reviews for next week, because like this is more complicated. Do you subscribe to the multiverse theory for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Or is Deke safe?
I like that idea.
Can we say Freaky Deaky somewhere?
Okay. The only other thing I want to say about this episode is that I really loved the dynamic between Mac and Yo-Yo.
Yeah,
like,
great.
It's... I love these two characters and I totally ship them, but they've been through so much right now that it's nice seeing the ramifications of everything that they've gone through. But
you like watching them fight?
I mean, no,
who
but like
hurt you?
I'd rather not talk about it. But no, I like seeing, like you said, actions having consequences. I like seeing the toll that this would naturally take on their relationship.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm hoping they're going to come out of it stronger and better than ever. But that's just me.
Yeah.
This is assuming we can get out of a time loop. Okay.
Only time will tell.
Final thoughts? I feel like that...
Graviton.
Are we going to go to predictions?
Let's do some really quick predictions so we can spend the rest of this episode talking about Infinity War.
And now... I'm just getting my hand ready for a continent.
Guys, I am so excited for the next episode because it looks like Talbot is really fully taking on the Graviton.
He's going down to thick goatee,
yeah,
with like spandex
a Doctor
clothes.
Strange sort of style hairdo and beard situation,
yeah,
going on.
He looks full supervillain. It's so great.
So insane. They're just like, all right. It was basically like, I think they've heard me yelling to Bill Terrance there. They've heard me yelling about Graviton for 4 years.
Like,
so now they're like, all right, you wanted Graviton?
You get
here's
it.
Graviton. Yeah. And it's just like, we copied him off a page.
At the end of last season, they just heard Zach screaming about how there was no Graviton reveal. And they were in the writer's
room.
The
end of every season.
They were like, I felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Hold
fine.
Please. So Zach screaming totally makes sense. But when I say they gave a head nod to us, meaning me.
We agreed with you.
You had a bathrobe theory that was not something that happened in the episode.
I'm the one that brought up the bathrobe. Thank you.
Silence, mere mortal.
I hope we're going to get more references to Infinity War. I think having episodes take place on a spaceship is a real... easy way to not acknowledge some of the things that have happened in Infinity War.
Ooh, that's a good point. I do. So, like, should we just move into Infinity War discussion?
Right.
No, but we did want to say, like, it's very interesting that this season that they have used the same set for basically everything.
Yeah, we were talking about.
And they've done, and you guys were pointing out how great a job they've done of doing so.
Yeah, making it feel like it's moving along, even though they literally just repainted the lighthouse from... future lighthouse.
It's a mid-season, like, hey, we redid the kitchen, and it's a new set now.
I will say that, like, I kind of forget that they're at the lighthouse because, like, it's such subtle tweaks,
yeah,
but it looks completely different than the way we saw it shot at the beginning of the season. So I appreciate. Yeah.
At one point, they did go to a park, like a public park. That was
change
of scene.
And a bar.
That's true.
And a bar, which technically could just be the same diner.
And we went to a military base one time so that we could have Hunter back.
Which was a different part
awesome.
Of the lighthouse.
Yeah. All right, guys. I feel like that just about does it. Now we're going to go ahead and give our spoiler alert warning as we delve into our Infinity War discussion. So for those of you leaving us, bye. We love you. We'll see you next week. All right? Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
But seriously, like, if you're driving, pull over. If
you have not seen Infinity War, get the hell out of here. We don't want to ruin it for you. And apparently people have been being pretty terrible about that this weekend.
Or you could be someone like me who doesn't really care about spoilers and it doesn't really affect my enjoyment of media. So you can watch if you're
Yes, but if you do care, like, this is your warning. Yeah. Has it been everywhere? I feel like people have been pretty good. Other than, like, well... Base emotional reactions is most of what I've seen.
Some people have been really good about being vague. There have been a lot of people who are just out and out spoiling people. I've seen lots of people, my friends on Facebook, going, well, I just got spoiled for it. Thanks, Internet.
Friends on Facebook. I walked out the theater and was like, guys, they all die. Everyone. who dies? Everyone. Everyone you've ever cared about for the last 7 years is dead.
All right. So
there were children, I was saying, there were children in my theater that their parents had to leave with them halfway through the movie because characters that they literally lived with because they were like 9 and 10 years old were dying.
In the first minute, my favorite character got killed.
Loki?
Yeah.
Idris Elba.
Just with one hand.
The thing that broke my heart was when I was in the parking structure getting ready to walk into the theater, I saw a little kid wearing an Iron Spider costume. And I was like,
oh! Oh, that poor child's going to be crying for weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it at the time, and then I watched the movie, and I was like,
A lot of parents are having a lot of, like, dark discussions this week.
We're going to know that most of these people are coming back. That's just not a possibility.
We're going to fix most of them in a year, if
we follow the comic books and we also follow logic, like there is a gauntlet that controls reality
and time and souls
and reverses everything and can like do whatever it wants. Basically, once you have it, you have control over everything.
Yeah, I mean this is the really interesting thing for like I have in terms of like my main thought on the movie.
Yeah,
because I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, how about we start with Zach and we give like our review. We'll go around the table and give our own review, and then we'll talk about implications for the MCU as a whole.
Okay. Yeah, my quick review just like. I feel the same way at the end of it as I did more or less after I saw Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah.
I really liked this movie. I really liked the half of a movie that I got. Yeah. But it was half a movie. And I went into Harry Potter with a knowledge, like, this is Part 1. I know Part 2 is coming. They've been lying to us for a year, for better or worse, because I appreciate the lie because it made me surprised by how the movie was going to end. But at the same time, like, you told me I was getting a full movie here. You told me we were going to do, like, start, middle, end, within as much as, like, a Marvel movie ever has an end.
Yeah.
Not chapter one of two.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Infinity War and then, like, New Avengers or something. Like, a reset while still continuing some threads. But this is half a movie.
Are we sure?
Really good half, but half.
Only two?
Avengers 4 is planned. Technically, I mean, they have a slate of like six or nine movies that they haven't announced yet. But the Russo brothers shot these two together, so they're already done.
The only ones we know, Ant-Man and Wasp are coming out.
Yeah,
and then Captain Marvel. And you have to and Spider-Man 2, whatever that's going to be. And you have to assume since Black Panther sold every dollar.
Oh yeah,
ever,
they've greenlit that. They've
officially started development, but it doesn't have a release date.
Yeah,
and aren't we looking at the female taking the position of Black Panther? Wasn't that the concept?
I think there's a rumor. But nothing official.
Yeah.
So, Taran, thoughts on the movie?
So, let me throw out something very interesting, and I want to say hi to Chad Boswick, who thanks for coming to the show and showing your love and support to us. And we hung out. He really gave no information. I don't know if he comes back for another Black Panther. But I don't know if he does. I don't know. Okay. And I'm saying it. Yes, I just said it. Right. So, first of all, if you're looking for like Avengers was this. Infinity War is my favorite Avenger movie.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about a feel-good movie.
You can't even finish that sentence, you monster.
And I'll tell you why. Because you said Deathly Hallows, and I felt like it was actually Half-Blood Prince when Dumbledore dies is how I felt after this, because there was an eerie silence at the end of this movie.
Oh,
great. There were applause breaks when it started. When it started and the Marvel logo came on, everyone clapped. And at the end,
this was a clapping
movie. It was just pin drop.
Yeah.
Now, there is a secret scene where even though the lights come on, at the theater, the lights came on and some people got up and left. And the entire credits rolled. I saw everyone's name in Hollywood as it just went up. Because that is a huge production.
Yeah.
The last scene includes Nick Fury and...
Maria Hill.
Exactly.
Tyrone just discovered end credit sequences, guys. Let him have it.
Yeah, can I have this moment? Or, man, other Jesse.
I can't
speak
control.
To other Jesse.
I can't control him sometimes. So, I'm sorry.
Megan Jr., finish your thought.
The concept is... they contact someone, and I believe that person is Captain Marvel.
Yes.
That's who that person is.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why I heard they were moving up her release date.
I've heard that as well.
I believe they moved it to before... This is like, I guess they were waiting. They moved Captain Marvel up before part two, lack of a better title.
I think they were always planning on doing that, but they didn't want to give away the ending of Infinity War...
That was a cool reveal.
That was a very cool reveal.
I like seeing Sam Jackson. I always love seeing Maria Hill.
Captain Marvel, for those of you who don't know, takes place in the 1990s.
And Coulson's going to be in it.
And it's a movie?
And Sam Jackson.
Yeah, it's a movie. Yeah, and Sam Jackson.
Without the eye patch.
Yeah. My review is basically, this is like nothing I've ever seen before. The fact that this was literally 10 years in the making, that they have set up a world and a universe and rules and successfully followed all of those things pretty much without any blemishes deviations and made a product with 30 billion main characters, and it never felt like this movie was 2.5 to 2:40 long. It never felt
229.
Long. 229. Never felt at long.
All. I concur.
It never felt like the characters.
Action packed.
It never felt like the characters.
That was a good line, too, man.
It never felt like the characters in the movie were being shirked. Like, everyone who was there got their moments, and it didn't feel like a lineup. It didn't feel like, and now Peter Quill says a joke, and now Drax does a thing.
So good.
It was all very natural. And this is a thing, like, I don't think this has ever happened in movies before. There wasn't an A story. It was 7 C stories that were made A stories because of the 10 years of development. Like, it was insane. Like, I was watching it, and I was like all
you guys
things,
said something out there that really caught my attention when you said it's like the season finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the best season finale
of
all the movies.
Our producer, Steven, outside before we came in said, I think he capped it off pretty well by saying it was the climax to the 16 movies, you know, to the 16 movie long movie that we've been watching.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Feige and the Russo brothers have been billing this as. Like, this is the end of the third act. This is like everything up until now, phase one, phase two, phase three, has been one long story. This is the final chapter.
And
it's two movies long,
but
it's epic. And you're right, no one is underserved.
No one feels underserved. It never feels like it's lagging. I think the thing that is great about it is that Thanos is such an imposing and amazing character who, for the most part, makes a lot of sense and has a point of view and has a place that he is trying to get to. So all of the characters all have a point that they are trying to get to as well. And a lot of these movies with like big casts, it feels like we're kind of floating and like kicking through water and not really going anywhere. This movie had so much momentum and energy, it always felt like it was building to
it,
that.
It trusted its audience. It trusted you to like remember these characters and be able to understand where they're coming from. And then by making it, really at the end of the day, this is Thanos' story. This is his movie. He takes up the majority of screen time. And the fact that like the morals of what he's doing, like what he wants to do, was a really like there's a part of you that is like, ooh, is he right? Like, it's the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few? What if the few was 50%?
Yeah.
To a horrifying degree.
What defines few?
I have to agree with everything that's been said here at this table. I loved the movie. Mm. I the big thing about it is that it's if you haven't been keeping up with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this is not a movie for you. This is a movie for
I think it is still for you. You're just going to keep going, who's that?
Who's that guy?
But you're still going to want to watch
real
this
quick,
movie.
We should talk about how it's going to affect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I guess.
Because, like, if we wiped out 50% of the population,
yeah, it's going to be like a remarkable coincidence.
Is that why we got
all of our agents are still around?
Is that why we met like three new interns this week so that we could just bamf them out?
But also, a lot of agents seem to die in the movie. Three quick problems I had. First of all, they bring the fight to Wakanda. Like, guys, of all the, but you couldn't do it in Paris. You had to just wipe out the one black country that we have. Like, the one, you had to go, hey, let's go to Wakanda and like,
hey,
take the stone.
Wakanda was kicking ass.
They had to kick ass because they were defending everyone and saving.
Yeah.
My problem is this is the Marvel fallacy that I show out. Is, for example, the Vision could have been killed a long time ago and the stone destroyed, but we had to save the Vision because his one life is more important because I love him. And same thing with Doctor Strange and same thing with any of the stones. Like, we could have done a lot of things to prevent this. We just didn't because I'm important.
Well, that was the big moral quandary in the movie.
But, like, we have like a minute and a half left, so I want to talk about how it's going to affect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And, like, so my question is, like, do you guys think that we're going to do Infinity War affecting the story next week, or do you think we try to like get through the story and then like at the end of the season meet up with the end of Infinity War to sort of like leave that as a cliffhanger for the next season?
I would like it to be an immediate effect, but I feel like, put like I said in the show, like I feel like putting them on a spaceship and putting them in a lighthouse where they're basically isolated from the rest of the world is a very convenient way to not acknowledge what's happened in Infinity War.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree. At first, I kind of thought that since we had time traveled, it was a little bit difficult to tell time-wise where we were for this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This episode has confirmed that it's happening concurrently.
Yeah.
So I feel like removing them is the best sort of way to sidestep that problem without really delving into it. Although I've been wrong before. Winter Soldier absolutely changed the fabric of the show. Yeah. So I would like Infinity War to do
by the same. Kim, by Davis, by Homeboy.
By Piper.
Also, I don't think Infinity War happened in 1 week. So I think it was a more spread out timeline than we realized.
Sure.
Movie wise. And then that'll play a part where I think later Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will address it because this happened during this week, but that happened afterwards.
Our last three episodes have been like the course of 2 days.
Yeah.
So
on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so
Infinity War, I felt, took up just the travel alone between places.
I would just love to see what Jessica Jones is doing as Infinity War is happening.
Drinking.
But
drinking is the answer. Definitely. She is drinking.
Well, guys, that just about does it for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thank you guys so much for sticking around. We want to hear your thoughts, not only on what we mentioned earlier, but we also want to hear your thoughts on Infinity War in the comments down below.
Please keep it spoiler-free.
Be sure to don't
spoil
do spoilers.
Stuff. Forget everyone else. Just, listen, the world's gonna end, people.
Just say whether or not you liked it. That's all you need to do. Don't
give
spoil
people
it for another,
give people a little bit of time.
Give people some time. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. Zach, where can people go if they
want to find you? Guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Graviton. at Zach Wilson.
At Graviton hit me is up. Here.
Tyrannos. You can find me currently at I Am Terran or on Titan, where I am wielding a gauntlet for my Infinity Stones.
There's no Infinity Stones in it, but it is a nice gauntlet.
I will fight you all.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Just follow me on Twitter. I do a bunch of stuff there. Again, thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Graviton!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.